do here at Community Church is to bring up young ministers. And we have several in our church that have voiced a call to ministry and a call to preach. And so today I'm going to be sharing the platform with the latest to answer a call to preach. And if you were here a few Sunday nights ago, you got to hear Monica preach the wallpaper off the wall, right? So we're going to, Monica, come on up. And she's answering a call to preach. She's in the process of applying for credentials, and she's going to be getting her credentials with the Assemblies of God. So we're going to do a tag team a little bit different this morning. So we want to encourage our young ministers. That's part of the mission of the church, right? To prepare saints for works of service and to bring others up. Everyone needs a Timothy. Paul had his Timothy, and everyone has their sidekicks that they were bringing up. We need to train our replacements. Come on. And we need to encourage them. So be with us today. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Just as part of an introduction, during this time, and you can stay up here, girl.
I'm getting the rest of my stuff.
Okay. I thought she was leaving. don't do that. During this time in the period, Israel would serve God and then they would fall away from him. Then they'd serve God and then they'd fall away from him. They would obey the law, then they'd fall away and they'd go into apostasy and they would just begin to worship idols. Well, this was that period of time in the history of Israel, this period of time that they had stepped away from the law, they had failed to worship the law, and they had fallen into the practice of the worship of Baal. And it just, they did some very detestable things, you know, even in throwing their babies into the fire, you know, and things like that. So you can read that history in 1 Kings there. God had sent a drought on the land as punishment, as a judgment upon them for what they've done. A lot of stuff happened in the 1 Kings with Ahab and Jezebel and Elijah. Go home and read the book of 1 Kings. You can read it all in 1 Kings, and it'll tell you all about it. But the part we want to deal with today is close to the end of that, when there was going to be a showdown on Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves had gathered together with Elijah and all of Israel on Mount Carmel for a showdown. It's going to be like the showdown at the OK Corral. This was the showdown at the Mount Carmel Corral. That they were going to determine if the false prophets were serving the true God or if Elijah was serving the true God. Does that make sense? So that's the setting. They were there on Mount Carmel, and they were going to have a showdown. 950 false prophets worshiping all of their gods and going to see which God was true, which God would bring fire down onto the altar. And so they had prepared, the false prophets had prepared their altar and they had prepared their sacrifice and they prayed all day. And they cried out and prayed. They cut themselves and they beat themselves trying to get their gods to answer. And their God did not answer because they're false gods, right? And so then it was Elijah's turn. It was Elijah's turn to set up the altar and to pray to the true God. I want you to understand, there was a drought in Israel at that time. God had sent a drought as a judgment upon them. It was a drought in the land and a spiritual drought in Israel at that time. Does that make sense? I want you to know, there's a drought in the church today. There's a drought in the church today. Everyone can agree that there's a drought in the church. What must we do to break this drought and see a Holy Ghost revival? That's what we're going to talk about today. But let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time that we have to come together to hear from your word. Father, we ask Holy Spirit to come, flow through this place. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and mind to comprehend. Let the preacher come. Let the teacher come. Let us say what you'd have us to say, and that and nothing more. Move on this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, the first thing we have to do is we must rebuild the altar. We have to get away from all the craziness and rebuild the altar. 1 Kings 18:30 says, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." It didn't say some people. It said all people. Can everybody say all?
All.
Thank you. You know, they couldn't even worship it because the altar had been gone. And it wasn't even supposed to be at Mount Carmel. It was supposed to be in Jerusalem, but they couldn't get there due to the evilness of the kings of Israel. So Elijah had to start repairing the altar for us. And it's like the modern church. I promise I ain't got a whole bunch of notes. And as the great prophet started repairing the altar and just working on it, we have to do that. We have to repair the altar here and in the modern church. We have to bring back the truth, the only truth of Jesus Christ. We cannot believe in man. We have to believe in Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, because that is the only way we're going to repair the altar. So much wrong has been committed from pulpits. From pulpits, so much wrong has been committed and said that it is ungodly. Will you ask, how can we repair the altar? Faith. Faith is the key. Faith in Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Not faith in man. Man can't do nothing. There's not a man on this earth that can fix this altar but Jesus Christ. Men, yes, men do good works. They come to, you can come to church, you can pay your tithes, you can worship. But does that mean that you really got the faith of God in you? You got to have faith in God and Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:17-19, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God."
Amen. We have to repair the altar. The second thing we've got to do to bring the end to the drought is we have to preach the word. Everybody say preach.
Preach.
What are we going to preach? The word. 1 Kings verse 31 says, "And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.'" I want you to understand something. 12 is the number of God's government. And God's government is rooted in his word. Every time man messes up, what makes him mess up? Every time he goes wrong, it's when he departs from or bypasses the word of God and puts something else in its place. Man has been trying to substitute stuff for the word of God since the beginning of the time. In fact, it's the greatest sin of the church is bypassing the word of God. The church substitutes things of its own devising. The church substitutes things like the latest fads or the latest trend. You know, we had that thing come through, the laughing trend. You know, everybody had to laugh. You had to pray and you had to laugh. We had that trend coming through where everybody had to fall out when they got prayed. The church tries to substitute even the latest growth methods. They read John Maxwell, and John Maxwell is good. But John Maxwell is not a spirit-filled Christian and preaching the word of God. He's telling you, a business person, how to grow their business, right? And those are good things. When you begin to substitute things instead of the word of God, when you begin to bypass the truth of the word, well then, guess what? You're going astray. They substitute all sorts of entertainment for worship. They got smoke machines and laser lights and all those sorts of things. When they preach cheap grace, where once you are saved, you don't have to repent of any of your sins anymore, because you already did that one time, so you don't have to repent again. Well, that goes right against the word of God when 1 John 1:9 says, if you ask forgiveness, he's faithful to forgive you of all your sins, right? He's preaching to the church there. So anything goes in a lot of these doctrines. And when the church bypasses the truth of the word, that's when you go astray, and that's when the drought happens. It's time that the church returns to the preaching of the truth of the word. We need to preach that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? We need to preach that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his only son, right? We need to preach the truth of those things. We need to preach that the only way to the Father is through the Son. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. I don't care what our past presidents have said. There's only one way to the Father, and there's only one God, and his name's not Allah. There's only one God, and the Son is the only way through the Father. The only way to the Father is through the Son, and we need to preach that, the truth. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Joseph Smith. It's not through Hare Krishna. It's not through... The only way to the Father is through the Son. We need to preach the truth of the Word. We need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Apostle Paul wrote that if anyone, say anyone, if anyone comes preaching anything besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified, even if it's an angel for heaven, don't believe them. Because the only thing that is the truth of the Word is Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
The next thing you got to separate from the world. Verse 32, then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two saws of seeds. And I looked that up, and that's like 3 gallons. So Elijah dug a trench to protect the altar. And in modern, we need as Christians to build a trench around us, not to let anything, because when we come in this church, we need to have our trench built, because anything inside this church is God's. Nothing outside. Inside, this is God's house. We don't need to bring the world in here. We live in the world, but we don't need to be of the world.
Come on, that's true.
We need to know that God, there are things that we as Christians should not participate in. We should not be at. And if we don't stand up for it, who is? It's like the modern day churches just let little things start. Oh, let's just put a little dirt around that trench. It's okay. You know, nothing. No, we have to dig it out. There cannot be nothing inside this church but God's stuff. We have adapted to the ways of the world so much that some of us are confused. It's not invited those ways. Sometimes they're on the platform. And you got to know that that's not right.
Yes.
Only God should be taught from this platform, from the Bible, nothing else, not from the book of the world, not, oh, if it's on Facebook, it's true. No, it's got to be from the Bible, God's holy word. The trench stated that everything inside the church belongs to God, and everything outside the church belongs to other gods. There is no other God. There is only Jesus Christ. And the Bible states, 2 Corinthians 6:4-18, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? I think I said that wrong, and I've been practicing. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God common with the unbeliever, the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separated, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will be the Father to you, and you will be my son and daughters.
We need to be separate. The next thing we need to do is we need to saturate ourselves with the Word. Saturate ourselves with the Word. Verse 33 says, and he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. It also filled the trench with water. Water here typifies the Word of God. And it is obvious from these scriptures that the water totally saturated the altar, the wood, the sacrifice, the ground, and filled the trench all around that Elijah had dug. This refers to the fact that the Word of God is the foundation. Can everybody say foundation? The Word of God is the foundation. It's the basis of everything we do. We studied this morning in our class that unless you establish right off the bat that the Word of God is the true, unadulterated Word of God and the final rule of faith, you have no basis to build your doctrine on. You can't pick and choose which part of the Word that you want to believe. It's all or nothing. And so we believe that we need to teach and we need to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And we must saturate ourselves, our whole being, and our mind with the Word of God. We need to fill ourselves up. One of the characteristics of a true believer is the love of the Word of God and the desire to study and know more about the Word and meditate upon the Word. If you don't desire to have a Bible study, if you don't desire to read the Word, if you're not hungry to study the Word of God, maybe we need to go back and re-examine our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the more you dig into the Word, you know about God, the more you know about Jesus, and the closer you get to Him. If you think that a Bible study is boring, maybe we need to go back and examine our relationship with Jesus Christ. The church as a whole needs to come back to the study of the Word, get into the meat of the Word. Enough with this milk and enough with this honey and enough with this being spoon fed. It's time for us to get into the meat of the Word so that it permeates our very being, so that we think about it, so that we talk about it, so that we live about it, we dream about it. It's in our mind all the time, and we can identify with the psalmist when he said these, when he penned these verses. Psalms 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law." The Word. I meditate on it all day long. And then 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." If you want to raise kids that are able to withstand against the Word, fill them up with the Word. Fill them up with the Word. When they have the Word in their mind, when they have the Word in their heart, it's a light unto their path. They make good decisions when they're away from you because they have the Word of God to help them and guide them and lead them into the decisions they make. Saturate ourselves with the Word. That's what we have to do.
And then we have to offer the prayer of faith. Verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Elijah appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at different times because they were worshiping him, the one true God. The other people were worshiping all these other gods. There is only one true God. Right. We know that. We've been taught that. It's time to come back and realize that TV, video games, all that gets in the place of Jesus Christ is not a God. It's not going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is going to get you to heaven. So therefore, the faith of these individuals stood out. And when Elijah prayed, he used this reference to show that, hey, they love God, the one God, the only God. In the modern church, we have to live by this faith that there is only one God. It doesn't matter that what people say, there's one true God. Man is not going to get you to heaven. You can't ride on your parents' coattail. Come on. You can't ride on the church's coattail. It doesn't matter if you gave $1,000 each week to the church. If you're not living by Jesus Christ and everything that he says. The church, the modern church, has got to take a stand, and we have to stand out. We can't just blend in. We got to know that our church is a Bible-believing, Jesus Christ preaching. We believe in the crucifixion. We know he's coming back for his people. thank you.
And then, when all these things were done, the fire fell and the rain came. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, the dirt, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The fire fell and consumed everything, the wood, the altar, the dirt, and the water. And when the all-consuming fire falls into our lives, it purifies everything and removes all the dross and the impurities in our life. We'll let that fire come in and purify us, like the refiner's fire, silver. You know, it burns up all of those things that need to be out of our lives. That's what the fire does. It removes impurity. The fire consumes all and purifies all. It becomes all too clear that the Lord, He is God. And the people turn their hearts and lives to God and renew their allegiance. When the fire falls and all the impurities are gone, when the fire falls and He cleans up our lives, when the fire falls and all those things that are gone, well, guess what? It becomes all too clear to everyone that the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Say, the Lord, He is God. And then the all-consuming fire results in any and all false doctrine practices and prophets being removed from the true church. Verse 40 says, and Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. When the all-consuming, purifying fire falls, anything that's false is brought out to light, right? Anything that's false is identified, and it has to go. Any wrongdoing, any false document, a doctrine, any false teaching, anything in the church is exposed and has to be removed. When the fire falls, the evil has to flee. When the fire falls, the evil has to flee. And when that happens, the people turn their hearts back to God. And that's when the drought ends. 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. I want you to understand, there had been a drought for years in Israel. And the ground was parched. It was dried up. But after all these things were done, and the fire fell from heaven and consumed the true sacrifice, then Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. If you go ahead and read the scripture, you'll find out there wasn't a cloud in the sky. But he had faith and believed in the one true God that was going to end the drought. And he told the king, said, go eat and drink. You can break your fast and you can start to celebrate because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Can somebody say amen? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I'm here to tell you, church. I'm here to tell you today, if we follow these steps, if we go down this path that Elijah did, if we follow the leading of the Lord and we set our hearts right and our minds toward the Lord, and then we declare the Lord, He is God, and the Lord, He is God. I'm here to tell you, it's the time to rise up, to eat and to drink and to celebrate because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Are you ready for the rain to fall? Are you ready to rain to fall? Are you ready for the drought to be broken? It's time. It's time. It's time to eat and drink and celebrate the goodness of God because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Revival is on the way. Revival is on the way. Can I get a witness? The refreshing rain of the Lord is blowing our way. The refreshing rain of the Lord is blowing our... Does anybody want to see revival in our church? Anybody want to see revival in our city? Anybody want to see revival in our state? Lord, do we need it in our state? Anybody want to see revival in our nation? It's time to do these things and rise up and celebrate because the rain is on the way. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and believe God and trust and have faith in Him that the revival is on its way.
Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain.
Sing it again, believe it.
Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the Lagos rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down.
need the rain. You need the rain. We need it.
We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost.
I need the rain. Do you need it? I need it.
We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down.
I want you to go about your week and think about it. Said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain as you go about your daily activity.